Welcome to episode 183 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are we going today, guys?
Going well, Jace. Feeling fired up and invigorated, which is a good way to feel this time of year. Feeling good. Getting the tracky dacks on, going for a walk. Something about tracky dacks and new runners. Isn't it? New runners and tracky dacks just on the pavement. It's invigorating. So feeling good. Nick, how are you?
Good, mate. Good. Yeah, it's funny you say that. I'm in the market for new golf shoes and I... just can't find the time. I've got a really odd-shaped foot, so I can't buy things online. I refuse to. I need to go and try them on, but I can't find the time at the moment. So,
just the one foot or both feet?
Such a Gen X thing to not be able to buy stuff online, have to go in the store. You bloody Gen Xers. Fake Gen Xer. I'm still channeling the last episode's energy. If you didn't listen to it, it was Gen X.
It's a fair comment, but... when you have an odd-shaped foot or an odd-shaped body, the efficiency of buying online you lose when you're going to get in the post office and put in a box and return it. So
what's going on? One foot's bigger or different?
Everyone has one foot bigger than the other. Isn't that a fact?
Do they?
No.
I didn't think so.
That's common. That's not just me. That's not why it's a weird-shaped foot.
Oh, Bigfoot is.
My feet are quite wide, so a lot of the shoes, particularly my right foot, they just don't. I need a wider shoe. But Jace, it looks like you're googling it. Do people generally have one foot bigger than the other? Okay, have you blokes ever actually been in and tried a shoe on, or is it all just online? Because that's the first thing they'll say.
It is quite normal for there to be some variation between two different feet. But
are you reading from somewhere?
Yeah, I just ChatGPT'd it, mate. So just says most people's feet are slightly different in size.
There you go.
Either a little bit longer, a little bit wider, but it says that it's unnoticeable and usually very small.
So this is not why I go on.
I've heard that a lot.
Anyway, so I need to go and get some golf shoes because mine are falling apart. So I just don't have time.
There we go.
I'll find it.
How are your feet, Jace?
I'm good. I'm good. Just was dealing with my baby boomer dad over the weekend and just had a laugh. I thought I'd share with you guys that if we talk about baby boomers maybe not being the greatest with technology, obviously last ep we talked about Gen Z and the future of all these tech-savvy whiz kids that are coming up through the ranks, but dad busted his mobile phone somehow. He slipped putting the SIM card back in and it fell inside the iPhone. And he was on the phone to iPrimus, who apparently told him to open up the phone and get the SIM out. So I don't know if you've ever tried to open an iPhone, but unless you're a qualified iPhone technician, I tell you what doesn't work, sticking a screwdriver into the SIM card hole and then twisting it. So my dad was very sheepish when he called up and tried to explain what had happened. And when I got to his place and saw the phone broken in half and pieces of an iPhone everywhere, I was like, there's no recovering from this, mate. Off to the shop.
My dad's 83 now, and every time, and he hasn't been all that well, but every time I go there, there's some new form of technology for baby boomers that I can't quite understand. Like, there's a phone now in the house where the buttons are as big as a frigging iPad, you know, when you got to dial it. It's like this. I'm going, what is going on here? I don't even know how to use it myself. He's probably more advanced than me. Clocks flashing at him. It's like it's a circus. God love them.
It's a wild world out there, and we're always bringing the latest hot topics for discussion here on The Numbers Game, from different size feet to exploded iPhones. It's all happening. But, Nick, why don't you lead us into what you got for us today?
Thanks, Jace. I come across an article a couple of weeks ago in the AFR, which I shared with the team here, and it just made me do a little bit more investigating on a couple of the company that was mentioned in the article. And yeah, there's a really cool product on the market now. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but Jace, what if I told you that with 10 grand you could secure a new property, brand new property off the plan or house and land? Mm-hmm. And this isn't a gimmick, you know, 10 grand, no more to pay. But what if I said that you just having $10,000 as a deposit you could put down and settle on a property at a later date?
in the words of the great KFC commercial, I'd say, shut up and take my money.
Wow.
But if I actually think it through logically, my accounting brain would say back to you, Nick, in a world of rising interest rates and increased property prices and construction cost issues, I would say to you that logically my brain would tell you there's no way I could put 10 grand down right now and be able to have a house at some point in the future with just 10 grand.
Okay. Marty, you're in the finance game. What would you say is the biggest thing that prevents people from buying property at the moment?
Oh, definitely, you know, deposit, like deposit. Having enough of a deposit. It's a, you know, servicing, yes, as well, with interest rates being high, but just having access to funds to purchase a home. And that's across first home buyers. Yeah, it's anyone that wants to buy property, really.
Mm. Well, I've got the answer for both of you boys, Jace, particularly you, who's, you know, trying to build your portfolio. This is for investors as well and owner-occupiers.
This is for everyone, Nick. So this is not just first home buyers.
From what I've read, investors as well, yes. There is a product out there called Coposit. So C-O-P-O-S-I-T. What Coposit will allow you to do is if you're in the market for an off-the-plan property or a house and land package, and both of those properties have things you need to be aware of if you're getting into that market. But I think where we are at the moment with a massive undersupply of property and property needing to be built, people are going to have to buy new. That's always been the way. What often happens, I'll go back a step, what often happens if you buy a house and land package or if you buy an off-the-plan apartment or townhouse or whatever it might be, is you put a deposit down. So that place may be worth, I'm picking a number, $750,000. For you to secure that property, generally you'd put down a 10% deposit, which would be $75,000. And then you have to wait for one or two things. If it's an off-the-plan apartment or a townhouse, you need to wait till it's completed, which can take anywhere from 12 to 24 months, sometimes longer. If it's a house and land package, you have to wait until the land is titled. So generally, if a developer is building a new estate, when they do that, they then need to put roads in and all kinds of services. And then once that happens, the council releases titles and whatnot. And that, at the moment, particularly in Victoria, can take 18 months plus. So you're putting down this big deposit and you're waiting for 18 months and you've really got, during that time period, you're still paying rent and life is going on. And I think the challenge is for a lot of people that, okay, well, let's say you do put that deposit away. It takes you 2 years to save a deposit. Then you put your deposit down on a house and land package or an apartment, and then you've got another 12 months to 2 years to wait for it to be built. So it could be a four-year process. What Co-Deposit lets you do is it lets you put down $10,000 through the Co-Deposit platform. Co-Deposit will fund the balance of your 10% to the developer, or I don't think the deposit even changes hands, and lets you save the balance of the deposit while that place is being constructed. So let me give you an example, Jace. You want to buy an off-the-plan apartment for $75,000. It's $750,000. You speak to the developer, and the developer says, look, it's 2 years away from completion. We are on the Coposit platform. So Jason, you can give Coposit or you can give us $10,000 and the balance of that deposit, which is $65,000, you can pay that off over the time period that the place is being built. So they work out what your repayments will be. Obviously, it's quite an extended period, so it's not a huge amount of money and it's actually interest-free as well. So what Coposit are actually doing is they are connecting buyers and developers and getting deals done quicker. Now, for you to have access to that Coposit product, there has to be an agreement, from what I can see, between the developer and Coposit. And I'd suggest that, you know, Coposit approves the developer and whatnot. But it's an absolute brilliant option, in my opinion, to say, well, I really want to buy that property. I've got, even if it's 20 grand, I've got 20 grand now, but I don't have the whole 60. I'm going to go through Coposit. I'm going to give them 20. I'm going to pay the rest off while the place is being built or while we're waiting for the titles to be released. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions so far, Marty?
The first question that came to mind was, do they have to pay co-deposit back within that time frame on what they're funding?
Well, no, they're actually paying the developer. So
the developer.
Yeah, so all they've got to do is make sure that they get to that 10% by the time the property is ready to settle.
Yeah.
And then second to that, they've got to then have the ability to move into a normal traditional mortgage and settle the property.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it goes back to standard. Yep. Cool.
No interest component. It's pretty innovative. It is innovative, and there's no interest component for the client because it's a benefit for the developer to get people into properties quicker. So that made me look at Coposit. And when you go to Coposit's website, you can actually look at properties that they have on their panel. So Jace, you could go to coposit.com.au. Where would you like to buy? Put in the postcode or the area. Are you looking for off the plan, townhouse, house and land? And the properties that are linked to Coposit will actually come up. So developers are actually also and land marketing agents, I guess, are actually listing their properties on Coposit. So it's like a one-stop shop where you can get access to both.
I think it's very clever. Just to kind of cut in for a second, I'm sure maybe you can unpack this a little bit. Maybe you're going there. I guess like anything that sounds too good to be true, like you've got what are the risks? What are the cons? You know, what am I missing out on or what am I not kind of understanding here? So you know, I don't know whether you've been able to look into it or not or seen it, but is it going to be backed by someone who's securing those deposits? I mean, like anything, there's the risk a developer goes under or, you know, is Coposit in any risk? I mean, that if they're just collecting the money, I suppose they'd hold it in trust.
They would hold it in trust. That's my, that is actually on the website. And the only investigation I've done is purely reading the website. But you're exposed just as you would be if you put the entire deposit down. So if you buy a house and land package, you've got to put the deposit down anyway and it gets held in trust. If you buy an off-the-plan property, you've got to put the deposit down and it's held in trust. So the risk is as it would have been, in my opinion, if you put the deposit down or decide to buy the property. Now, there's a whole heap of things with off-the-plan property you need to be aware of, such as, you know, there's the ability for the developers to change the plans a little bit. But so as far as off-the-plan goes, yes, definitely buyer beware on the product and the developer and what you're actually getting into. But from a product to get access or have time to prepare or gather the deposit, I think this is actually really cool.
I was just thinking in regards to, you know, traditionally, so let's say that full 10% goes to the developer, then the client has given that money over. So the difference here is they put down 10 grand and then Coposit give them an interest-free loan to the developer to actually fund the development. But then the client has access to that. Let's say it's an extra 65,000. Is there any vulnerability of them having access or they keep it in there? What's the benefit?
I don't actually think the money is going to the developer. And I'll tell you why I think that.
Okay.
So what made me look at Coposit was an article I read in the AFR around CBA and them doing their bit for housing supply. So where this all come from my point of view, is an article about CBA and how they're funding or how they're, I guess, giving developers access to funding. So let me go back a step. Jace, if you were developing an apartment in the city or an apartment building somewhere, anywhere, and you would want to put some money in as a developer, but you'd also need to rely on the bank for quite a bit of funding in nearly 99% of cases. One of the big things that make funding possible for a developer is to have what's called a pre-sale. So, okay, CBA Bank, I need $50 million. I have pre-sold 50% of the product that I want to build. So I have sold off the plan 50% of the apartments that I want to that I want to actually build. That will then give the bank the confidence to go to the developer and say, geez, that works. You've guaranteed 50% sales. I see you're putting some money in yourself. We're going to fund the rest because we know you've at least got 50% of it pre-sold. So it's if you talk to any developer, one of the biggest issues with getting funding is the pre-sales. And the reason is, a couple of reasons. people like to touch and feel before they buy things. When it's off the plan, they can't touch and feel. The other issue is deposits. So for me to put a normal deposit down, go back to your example, 750K, I've got to part with $75,000 on an off the plan apartment and hope that the builder builds it in the next 18 months or so. So what the CBA is saying is anyone that's come through the Coposit platform and paid the 10K to Coposit for the deposit on a development, CBA will now accept that as a pre-sale for the developer. So not only does it make it easier for the client to get into the property, it's also opening up funding for developers and ticking off one of the hardest boxes that they've got, which is the pre-sales. So you've still got the issue of not being able to touch and feel, and they're still going to have that challenge when they're selling. But something like Coposit will make it easier for them to get sales done because they can go to clients or prospective buyers and say, look, all you got to do is put 10K down with Coposit and save the rest. Now, traditionally, if you did that and the developer went to the bank and said, oh, here's my pre-sales, the bank would say, not accepted because you don't have 10% deposit. Please move on. Now the bank will say, oh, I can see you've got the Coposit platform in place. They've paid their $10,000, they're saving the rest. We'll now accept that as a pre-sale. So it should then free up funding for developers and mean that properties get built quicker. So I read it as, you know, CBA doing their bit for housing supply, I guess, and trying to encourage development. So, two-prong approach, I guess. Buyer and developer.
It's got my attention. I'm definitely gonna. I've just started flicking through some of the available properties. It seems like a lot of New South Wales at the moment. I guess it's probably relatively new. I can't see anything in Victoria just yet, but maybe they've looked at Victoria and gone, too much land tax there, too much property issues with the hangover from COVID. It seems to be Queensland, New South Wales.
I thought I saw some in Vic.
Maybe it's just my inability. You're right.
You're probably searching what, three bedroom, three bathroom, jacuzzi. Just check your filters, mate.
You know me so well, Nick. You're right. It's the jacuzzi that was not available in Victoria. I've found them now. It's definitely, look, anything that's new, innovative, and has got like a good underpinning values, which is to help people get into a home and to put smart things in place to make it secure, stable. I guess the commitment as well of, you know, making it easily understandable. There's a weekly amount of money that goes into build the deposit. You've made a commitment. I guess the excitement of actually securing the property to be able to see and imagine that, yes, you put down 10 grand, but it's, I guess, psychologically and mentally, if Case and I are putting away $500 a week or whatever the number is, but we don't have that property yet. Like, it's not as exciting. And maybe it's easier then to go, you know what, maybe we'll pull some of that money back out and spend it elsewhere. Maybe I'll buy some shares or go on that overseas holiday. Whereas the commitment to know that the $10,000 is down, I've got my name on a contract for an apartment or a house and land package that within 2 years I can see, feel, hear, and know it's actually locked in and about to happen. There's something that's quite, I guess, reassuring about that commitment to know that, you know, you're making a plan, you're sticking to it. And as opposed to if you're building up a savings account full of cash, you can be unsure how to use it, where to invest it. Again, we've always talked about on this show of the effect of not making a decision, the effect of not getting into the market and the downside of what happens when you do wait a few more years to build the savings account, as opposed to taking action and having your time in the market. Long-winded version of the answer is it's definitely something that I'm more than happy to look into. And I think the more that we can build awareness of things like this, then the more developers that will jump onto this platform as well, which will just create more opportunities for people to get involved.
I'm really glad that you brought up the buy-in by signing a contract. This is actually a method that's been used by builders for some time. So you may recall, yeah, for quite some time now, you'll see $3,000 down on a house and land package and nothing to pay till settlement. It's basically a similar kind of theory, and we've got a particular developer that refers us clients at the moment that uses something similar. But basically, the clients would come in, as a mortgage broker, we would do an assessment on them and say, look, deposit aside, do you have the ability to get a finance approval on this property? So looking at things like your income and expenses, any existing liabilities that you had. If you had the deposit, would everything else stack up? And if the answer is yes, then with this particular builder that we work with, they can put down a small deposit on a property, and we will then work out how much they need to save or what ability they have to save over the next 12 to 18 months. So we work out based on a finance scenario, okay, this particular client needs to save $30,000 over the next 18 months. That developer will then find a product that suits them. So when I say a product that suits them, price-wise, when are the titles due or when's it due to be completed, and put them into a product. And then there's another business that comes in. I won't mention the business name, but they actually run a particular savings program. So everyone works together. The client comes to us. We say, yep, they'll be good to go and finance as long as they come up with a deposit. The developer or the builder gives them a property. Then the savings company runs them through a savings program. And through that savings program, there's incentives all the way through it. You know, once you hit a certain milestone, you might get upgraded white goods and things like this. And what's been amazing to witness is how quickly people push through that savings plan and reach their savings goals. And it's because the buy-in is there. So quite often, one of the things we see, I was talking to the savings plan guy the other day, but he said one of the things he often sees is people get 6 months into the savings plan, get a really good deposit together, and their parents lend them the rest or give them the rest. So the parents might give them the balance of the 10 or 15K they needed, because the parents can see that they've taken action. They've actually saved quite a lot themselves. But the key is putting their name on a contract, having a house that they're seeing that's going to be built, definitely expedites the savings and gets or the savings plan and gets more buy-in to where most people come out of the savings plan earlier and possibly into a into a property that's ready earlier. So it's a really good point.
Really good point. And so what's happening with this new product is that is technically the savings plan. So
basically
they're paying the developer, and then it's more formulated just in regards to what they're delivering.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Available for investors too, Marty. I know you mentioned that at the start. Yeah.
Yeah, usually it's always first home buyers or trying to get people in the market, but it's great that it's across the board and people can explore it. We need more properties built.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
And I think the thing to think about, you remember this as I do, because it was when I was just starting the industry, but do you remember off the plan, you would put a deposit down, and there's every chance that when you settle, that property would be worth far more than what you paid for it. Now, that's normal, right? Like if you're putting something down and then you're settling it in 18 months or 2 years, you would think that property growth, it should be worth more because you paid a price 18 months, 2 years ago. That disappeared. That disappeared because I think developers look to gain or charge for that growth early in the original price. And the reality is the apartment market just hasn't really moved in Melbourne in the last 10 years. I would be surprised if it doesn't move over the next few years, because the reality is we just don't have the property. You look at Brisbane at the moment, Brisbane apartments are moving and moving in a big way from a capital growth point of view. So I think we'll get to the point where the apartments will start to come back on the agenda for purchases. They haven't for quite some time. We talked about Gen Z and just a different way of living and different values. Immigrants coming in, immigrants more prepared to live in apartments because it's what they're used to. They're not used to a 700 square meter block with a backyard, you know, and a lemon tree. So I think, I don't know. I think watch this space in the apartment market and purely just affordability, right? Like if you don't have any other option from an affordable point of view, then you've got to put a roof over your head.
No, I love it. And just maybe if we can, if you spare a little bit of time to go into it, I just saw, you know, before I touched on innovative and new products that are available to help people get into buying homes. Do you have any thoughts on CBA's property share products? Are you aware of that one?
Marty, have you looked at that?
No, not yet.
Effectively, CBA's brought out this product called Property Share. and I know we've had some thoughts on this in the past, so it'd be interesting to recap on either of your thoughts. But effectively, you can split the cost of buying a house with friends or family, but CBA's property share product allows it to sort the finance separately, the ownership separately, and the repayments separately.
Yeah, that's, so, that's been around. That's been around for a long time with forever. CBA.
I think they're just promoting it now.
It's a point of difference in the market. So there's a few lenders that do it, but not the majority. So they're just seeing it as a niche to get themselves out there, I think.
So I think in the past you've not been, I mean, and it probably makes sense that getting involved with friends and family and whatnot in a property is, so we've probably seen too many horror stories where it doesn't work out. I think you'd agree, Nick.
Yeah, look. Are they horror stories? No. Like, I wouldn't say they're horror stories, but it just, people move in different directions and that's just the reality. So I think if you're going to do it, be very careful about who you're doing it with. Not that, not because they would do the wrong thing by you, but just think about, okay, well, what happens if you meet someone in the next 2 years and you want to start a family and you need a family home? How is this investment that we've made going to, I guess, hinder that? Is it going to hinder it or impact your decision? And look at life changes and what are inevitable and how would that impact that investment property you've bought together?
Very good points and very good questions. And what I might round out this ep with is just that Innovate, the team who work with Nick and Marty, and Nick and Marty themselves are absolute gurus in this area when it comes to, you know, mortgage broking to buy a property, setting people up to have the right advice to make sure they can get into the right property at the right time. So if you are considering buying a property, whether it's your first home or you're investing and you're looking to add another property to your portfolio, the team at Innovate are the ones that I hands down recommend engaging with, going and talking to. I know I get to say that from being here on the podcast with these guys, but I work with many different professionals in the industry and Innovate are always conducting themselves just to go above and beyond for their clients. If you don't believe me, check the reviews online. Give a Google to Innovate, Innovayt, and then reach out to Nick and Marty, absolute gents, gentlemen in the industry and great team that support them. So, guys, I hope that's okay for a bit of an Innovate shout out. We know you guys love what you do and look after so many people. But, yeah, it's been great to hear a little bit about how Coposit might help Jason Case get in the market. It's exciting.
Absolutely. And until next time, keep building. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.